Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi everyone, and welcome to yet another edition of Bavarian Podcast Wars. You're here with me, Samrin, today, and we are here for our flagship show. There's a lot going on with Bayern Munich, and it is really difficult to say where to even start, but I think while we did have a post-game show, a really great post-game show about Bayern's defeat to Heidenheim, that is a good place to start, because since the winter break, Bayern's record in the Bundesliga reads 5 wins, 1 draw, 5 losses. This is the most number of games Bayern has lost in a season since, I believe, the 2011-12 season. And that is quite telling, because we all remember how that season ended. And if you don't remember, that's good for you. I don't need to remind you. What happened against Heidenheim is much deeper than really what happened on the pitch. But first, the on-pitch issues. Bayern dominated possession, controlled the game, led 2-0. After halftime, Frank Schmidt changed a few things. Heidenheim played some long balls. It doesn't take much to take out Dayot Upamecano, and apparently Kim Min-jae too. The defense fell apart. Bayern conceded 2 quick goals, and before long, Heidenheim scored the winner. A Sven Ulreich save in the middle perhaps prevented the score from being worse than it was. But it is worth noting where the morale of the team stands, because in the reverse fixture, Bayern was also 2-0 up, and Heidenheim did come back to level that 2-2, and that somehow woke Bayern up, and Bayern scored 2 quick goals to win that game 4-2. What is worth noting is that in that fixture, Bayern had enough confidence to turn it around, even from a bad situation. And what is worth noting is that Heidenheim were fearless as well. We probably had a healthy amount of respect for Bayern, which a lot of teams in the league don't have right now, because Bayern has already lost 6 league games this season, and a team that has lost 6 league games is not one that you necessarily have to be afraid of. You see Leverkusen's record when they play you, and you see that that's a team that hasn't had a single loss, and that's when you start questioning yourself and be like, well, if this team hasn't suffered a defeat, why should we be the ones to defeat them? But when it comes to Bayern right now, you know Bayern is vulnerable. So there was no fight from the team at 2-2. It really seemed like a matter of time before Heidenheim would score the winner. That is not to say that Bayern did not create chances. They did. Harry Kane's finishing lately has not been great. This does not mean that Harry Kane suddenly cannot be trusted and should be on the subs bench and all that. Harry Kane is still Harry Kane. He's doing about as much as he can. But there is a lack of cohesion. There is a lack of trust in each other. And there is certainly a lack of belief in the coach, because Thomas Tuchel can yell and scream all he wants from the touchlines. His players don't seem to be paying that much attention. And just on Thomas Tuchel, he will be suspended for the next game because he got a yellow card for protesting a throw-in. And that's not necessarily a bad thing that he won't sit on the bench against Köln. But I think the Bayern board really has to look at themselves in the mirror and ask, when they decide to sack Tuchel, why did they think that all the reasons which were behind their sacking of Tuchel would suddenly change and there would be solutions to all the problems that there were before? Because there weren't any. There were no solutions. The team's heads dropped. There was not much that Tuchel could really rely on to change the game, because even if he suddenly had a tactically genius idea to for Bayern to regain control or regain a foothold in this game, I doubt the players would have actually listened to him. I might be wrong. And the Arsenal game, which we're going to discuss, is going to tell us a lot about that. But that's what it seemed like. In terms of the selections, I was a little surprised to see him go with Deo Upamecano and Kim Min-jae, because if there's one thing about Tuchel, if he feels like someone has made a mistake, they're banished to the bench pretty much permanently. However, that means that Matthijs de Ligt and Eric Dier will most likely be back at the heart of defense in the Arsenal tie. I don't know what to say about Alphonso Davies, because across the back line there were errors. Would Rafael Guerrero really be a downgrade on him right now? Maybe not. Kimmich did okay, but there were defensive frailties there too. And now let's get to the midfield. Leon Goretzka and Konrad Laimer. And I like Leon Goretzka a lot. But there's this one moment, though, that really sticks in my mind, where Goretzka goes forward, loses the ball, Heidenheim launches an attack, and Goretzka just stands there. He doesn't try to run and win that ball back. And maybe he's tired and it's later into the game, and I don't necessarily blame him for it, but that has been emblematic of the seasons of so many players this season. And his frustration at being substituted surprised me, because at least it showed he cared, because it really seemed like very few people cared during this game. But that pairing of Konrad Laimer and Leon Goretzka does not work. Alex Pavlovich, who has been an absolute revelation this season, was out with tonsillitis, will continue to be out, which means that we may see a return of Joshua Kimmich in midfield next to Leon Goretzka, because Goretzka and Laimer will not work. Nasser Mazraoui may possibly be fit, which means that he might take one of the right back roles. With Manuel Neuer being out, and Bayern's defense is always a step behind anyway because of Neuer's unique playing style, Sven Ulreich really did the best that he could. And there's not much you can say there about Ulreich. There's not much that you can blame him on. But that's where things are right now. It's disheartening. It's borderline embarrassing to see a team of this quality perform this poorly week in, week out. Perfectly average, bang average Dortmund team beat this side 2-0 the previous week. That same Dortmund team lost to VfB Stuttgart yesterday in a pretty even contest, 1-0. It's just mind-boggling. Before the international break, there was hope, because there were these three matches where Bayern did play well. And there was that whole thing of, oh, the old Bayern is back. And ever since Tuchel's been fired, a weight has been lifted off their shoulders. It really did seem like that. And after the break, I don't know what exactly happened during the break. And there were not that many Bayern players away on duty with Germany, at the very least. Of course, Bayern players are away on international duty with various countries. But after the return, it seems like Bayern has been like three or four steps behind. The situation somehow got worse, not better. And now, I do not get how there wasn't one coach in the world who could at least be a standby, who could take over as an interim manager till the end of the season. Bayern has many youth teams to promote managers from. Bayern could have, I don't know, tried to make a call to Hansi Flick. I don't know if Hansi Flick would have said yes, but from my understanding, there were not even any efforts to get in an interim manager because there was such faith in Tuchel. And this has boggled my mind that even after firing him, they somehow thought he was the best solution to continue to the end of the season and just throw it away. The Bundesliga title was gone, the Pokal was gone at the moment that Tuchel was fired, perhaps. That being said, the Champions League wasn't a foregone conclusion. And if Bayern really wanted to make a deep run into the competition, maybe they should have gotten serious about a coaching change. Because Bayern could literally not be in worst form ahead of the Champions League tie against Arsenal. We are, of course, going to speak about that Champions League tie. But first, let's actually talk about the consequences that this Heidenheim defeat has for Bayern, and it extends beyond the psychological hit of losing to a team that's newly promoted from the second division, from the Zweite Bundesliga. So, Max Eberl came out came out after the Heidenheim game and mentioned the following. Per Sport One reporter Stefan Kumberger, "We should quickly discard the arrogance and not say, oh well, then we'll just finish second. So far, we didn't finish in second place and we also didn't secure Champions League qualification. The question has been asked, new coach, new players, what am I supposed to tell them? Are we playing in the Champions League or not? It sounds very, very depressing, but that is the question we need to answer and we need to face it. What do we need to bring to the pitch to get points and qualify for the Champions League?" Thanks to Aimia Sanmia for the quote. I have to say, he makes a very valid point there, because there's a lot to think about, because it wouldn't be unusual. Like, you can't say that we cannot point to somewhat recent history and say that Bayern has not missed out on the Champions League before. Bayern has. 2006-07, Bayern finished fourth. Back then, the top three teams went into the Champions League, and in the next season, Bayern bought Frank Ribery, Luca Toni, Miroslav Klose into the club. I think Massimo Otto also came in that season, but I'd have to double check, to strengthen the team. And Bayern ended up winning the title the following season and qualifying for the Champions League. But it's not like it can't happen. Now the Bundesliga has four spots rather than three in the Champions League. But the superior goal difference is what might save Bayern later on, because Bayern currently sits second, tied on points with Stuttgart, ahead on goal difference. And I'm going to take a look at the Bundesliga table. And just looking at that table, RB Leipzig sits on 53 and Dortmund sits on 53, both 7 points behind Bayern. And the way that this team has been playing, 7 points is not a lot. So, and in terms of goal difference, Bayern is on 44, Stuttgart 30, Leipzig 31, Dortmund 22. So, let's just look at some of Bayern's fixtures ahead. Of course, either side of the Arsenal.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Game. So, after Bayern plays Arsenal on Tuesday, Bayern plays Köln, who came back from a 1-0 deficit to win 2-1 last minute against Bochum to give themselves the chance of surviving in the Bundesliga. So Köln have a fight on their hands, and Köln will be up for this game. And if Bayern doesn't show up, there can be consequences. The reverse fixture finished 1-0, and it was perhaps one of the most boring Bayern games I have ever witnessed, because Tuchel decided that at 1-0, Bayern could shut up shop. And back then, there was, of course, a whole crowd that was very much like, a win is a win. Well, there are no wins coming, so a performance like that is not going to do this time around. After the second leg against Arsenal, Bayern has a resurgent Union Berlin, who held Leverkusen to 1 goal via a penalty. And Union Berlin is always going to be tight, and it's always going to be hard to break down. And then there's the real rubber, banana skin, I guess is the best way to put this fixture, because it's so difficult to know which way it's going to go, against Eintracht Frankfurt. Frankfurt is always difficult to play, and Frankfurt can defeat Bayern. It's not new. The reverse fixture ended 5-1, of course. Right after that, Bayern have Stuttgart. And there's an argument to be made that Stuttgart has been the second best team in Germany this season. Then there's a Wolfsburg, who I watched lose to Borussia Mönchengladbach today, so that might be a fixture that Bayern can win. And on the last day, Bayern have Hoffenheim. And we remember the reverse game in which Hoffenheim missed some great chances at 1-0 down, and Bayern ended up winning the game 3-0. So, it's not... Max Eberl has a point. If Bayern starts losing fixture after fixture after fixture, regardless of if Dortmund and Leipzig win all their fixtures, and Dortmund and Leipzig also have to play each other, there is a slight risk that Bayern could drop out of the top four. This is not something any of us would have said at the beginning of the season. Even with Leverkusen's brilliant play, we would not have said this about Bayern. We might have said, okay, Bayern might finish second, but things are not looking great right now. So Max Eberl's warning is not one that's made just to light a fire in the dressing room and just to get the players to be passionate once more and to give their best. He may actually have a point there. And so now let's actually look ahead to that Arsenal tie. And it's very difficult to really seriously think about a Champions League tie with a team that has just been so poor. And I feel for the players. Their coach has bashed them. Every 2 days you hear something come out of the boardroom of somebody higher up in the club that the changes have to be made, including lots of player changes. Basically, we have to tear this thing up. We have to make X, Y, and Z changes, and it's not all on the coach. You're giving the players very little incentive to work harder this way. And it would be nice for Max Eberl or somebody to come out and say, we have faith in our squad that despite these results, we are going to see a reaction from them because they are world-class players. It would be nice to hear a positive statement like that. But right now, you are not hearing any positive statements from the board. And it is very frustrating for me to see because even for Max Eberl, and I know he's new to the job and, you know, he has Bayern in his DNA from his playing days and whatnot, but he was a player. He knows how difficult it is. And he knows this team is filled with serial winners. It would be nice to remind them of that, that they can do better. But even if Bayern improves massively ahead of that Arsenal tie, there is just still so much doubt in how this game, and how Bayern might play this game out, and how Bayern could even achieve a result. There is so much doubt in the way that Tuchel is going to set this team up. But before we talk about Bayern, let's take a couple of minutes to discuss Arsenal. As of the time of recording, Arsenal sits top of the Premier League. Liverpool drew 2-2 with Man United, and it's a very narrow lead. It's by goal difference, I believe. But Arsenal are top of the league. And the Premier League title race is probably going to go down to the last day. Arsenal, yes, they are leading by goal difference. And they have a goal difference of plus 51. Liverpool has a goal difference of plus 42. And Man City of plus 40. And Man City is a point behind Arsenal. Arsenal's already played Man City. So if Arsenal keep up their form, they might actually be Premier League champions. And while Arsenal has spent a ton of money to get there, it is not easy to lay a glove on Man City. And it is worth noting that this Arsenal team is really, really good, wherever you look at it. They had a fantastic keeper in Aaron Ramsdale, but Mikel Arteta decided he wanted a ball-playing goalkeeper, and he got David Raya, which seems to have worked out so far. And Raya did save penalties against Porto to get Arsenal to the stage of the Champions League. And in the back line, they have in Ben White just a really solid defender to depend on one wing. And on the other, Arsenal would have Tomiyasu, but Tomiyasu has had spells where he has been injured. So Zinchenko has played there. Zinchenko is, of course, a very solid player himself. At the heart of defense, Gabriel and William Saliba have done a fantastic job, and so little gets past them that Arsenal, even on days that they don't play particularly well, which was the case against Brighton in their game on Saturday, they could rely on that strong defense to make sure that Brighton would not find a way to get past them. That is the excellence of Arsenal. That is the excellence of a team that might win the Premier League and might win more than just the Premier League. In midfield, Arsenal actually has a really solid number 6, one that Tuchel would have loved. Oh man, just talking about this number 6 debate really, really makes me upset just with how things have unfolded with Tuchel. But Arsenal does have a really strong number 6 in Declan Rice, who has had a fantastic season since his move to Arsenal from West Ham United. Declan Rice can fill in as an 8, he can play as a 6, and he can play anything in between, really. He is a fantastic player who has had a fantastic season, who can score goals, who can basically hold down the fort in midfield. And partnering him, it might be Jorginho, it might be Thomas Partey, but Jorginho has also quietly had a very, very good season. And of course, there's no shortage of talent in front of them. Martin Odegaard is a spectacular talent. He is the captain of the club at a very young age, for not for no reason. He is a brilliant player who deserves all the plaudits that have come his way. He's a fantastic playmaker, and he knows how to take things on his own shoulders when things are not working out for Arsenal. And of course, then you have the likes of Bukayo Saka, you have the likes of Gabriel Martinelli, you have Kai Havertz playing as a false or true nine at this point, who knows. There's of course Gabriel Jesus, who can slot in as well. Off the bench, Arsenal has wonderful options like Leandro Trossard to bring on. Emile Smith-Rowe, who's a wonderful playmaker of his own right, sits on the bench. There are the likes of Eddie Nketiah, Reece Nelson, who can act as wonderful impact subs. Overall, this team is strong. This team has plenty of depth. This team is united. Even Aaron Ramsdale, who is the number one, has sat on the bench basically the entire season. He has taken it well. There hasn't really been any media drama related to it. There was a little bit at the beginning. There isn't much now. And that is a team that's very unlike Bayern. It is together. It is united. It knows how to play. And Arsenal does change its style a little bit depending on who the opponent is. For example, against Man City, they spent the first half kind of sitting back. The press wasn't exactly great in the first half, but in the second half, when they kind of resumed their own identity, they did create chances against Man City. It is worth noting their strength and depth, the various ways in which they can play. And of course, this is not to say that Arsenal has not struggled. They lost to Aston Villa this season. They, in the league, among other losses, they struggled against Porto in the round of 16. That is the exact kind of team they don't like to play. A team that will sit back, that will absorb pressure, that has Champions League nous, and that regularly does play in the competition. Because Arsenal are relative novices at this level due to the long absence from the competition. However, they did overcome Porto, and Bayern is more of an opponent of the type that they do like to play, an opponent who will play rather than.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It back. Now, Tuchel's Bayern might be the type of team to sit back. That's what Tuchel seemed to have wanted ever since coming in. He wanted a team that would score one goal, sit back, play on the counterattack. This is probably the most frustrating part about Tuchel. He took over a team and tried to imprint his philosophy on a group of players among whom this cannot work. This approach was never likely to succeed with a group of players who know how to play on the front foot, who prefer to play on the front foot, who are not used to sitting back and absorbing pressure. Maybe once in a while they can do that, but that's not how Bayern plays. And while trying to imprint this ridiculous park the bus kind of style of football on this team, Tuchel not only destroys those attacking automatisms that this team already had, he furthermore destroyed the confidence of this team. And what is happening right now is solely on Thomas Tuchel. Players losing form, players losing confidence, and so much more. All of this can be put down to the way that Thomas Tuchel has treated his players. Because across from him on Tuesday will be a coach in Mikel Arteta, who sets his team up to play on the front foot, because that is the Arsenal way. That is also the Bayern way. But it seems like with Tuchel, there has been a massive loss of identity within this club. And there seems to be so little that can be done about it. And it's too late to recover from this. It is going to be very difficult for the team to recover from what has been a mentally grueling season. You wouldn't think that considering that Bayern lost in the Pokal so early, Leverkusen is probably going to have the league title wrapped up next week. And how the Champions League has unfolded, mainly in Bayern's favor. Yes, there was the 1-0 defeat to Lazio, but Bayern's best game might have been that second leg 3-0 victory over Lazio. Pedigree counts for something, and Bayern has so much pedigree in this competition. But history and pedigree mean very little when a team cannot do the basics in football, cannot defend long balls, cannot pass through the midfield. Like, one poor pass anywhere seems to lead to an attack. There was a moment where Matthijs de Ligt lost the ball in Bayern's attack close to goal, and that, just that last ball, even though he tracked down his defender, led to an entire attack for Heidenheim. And that says a lot, that a single lost ball, a single loss of possession, can cause so much damage at Bayern right now. It's not an indication of good things. It is an indication of where this team stands in terms of its confidence level. So how can this team really expect to be on equal footing with Arsenal? Man for man, Bayern has serial winners in the squad. Yet, right now, mentality-wise, every single player in this Bayern team feels inferior to the Arsenal team. In terms of team selections, I believe Manuel Neuer should be back for this one, which will immediately be a confidence booster. It's important to have your goalkeeper and your captain back to where he needs to be. Also, Alex Pavlovich, as we mentioned before, will most likely remain out due to tonsillitis. Leroy Sané should be back for this one, and Tuchel loves Sané, so regardless of Sané's form, he's going to start, which means that Thomas Müller will most likely drop to the bench because Tuchel ain't about to bench Jamal Musiala, and Serge Gnabry has been on good form. And this is the unfortunate part about Tuchel. Bayern's attack ticks when Müller is there. Yes, there have been defeats when Müller has been on the pitch, but the football was a lot worse when Müller was not on the pitch. But you bet, Bayern's vice-captain, a player who has played 700 games in the Bayern shirt now, a player who has spent his entire life playing for Bayern, his entire playing career playing for Bayern, is going to find himself on the bench in this fixture, because that's just how things have been with Tuchel. Leroy Sané will start, Jamal Musiala will start, Serge Gnabry will start, all behind Harry Kane, and that attack is not going to work because there's going to be nobody to connect. There's going to be a lot of dribbling, there's going to be a lot of lost possession. Serge Gnabry is a little different in that he chooses to cross the ball as he did when he set up a few chances for Bayern against Heidenheim. But yeah, with Tuchel, there's that fear that runs down players that I make a single mistake, I'm going to see myself on the bench. Even when I make a mistake that might not necessarily be a mistake, if the coach doesn't like me, I'm going to see extended bench time. And there has been so much favoritism, because Leroy Sané should have been on the bench 2 months ago, basically, and Matthijs de Ligt should have started ahead of him based on form. That didn't happen. That has been Thomas Tuchel's Bayern Munich. The worst, the least confident, and just excruciatingly boring to watch Bayern Munich. And this is going to be the one. This is going to be the version that plays Arsenal on Tuesday. And remember, Bayern does not have any away fans in that game, because one or two fans decided to light flares in the previous round. UEFA decided that a worthy punishment would be to ban away fans. Meanwhile, racism even does not warrant that for UEFA. But a flare or two warrants banning of the entire Bayern contingent. Arsenal has gone out and warned Bayern fans to not show up at the ground for the game. And I don't know if we're going to see any. There has been a handful of tickets allotted for Bayern's hierarchy to come and watch the game. But if there's any team who needed support behind them right now, it's this Bayern. And there's just so much blame to go around. There is endless blame about this situation. Starting with the Hansi Flick situation, where Bayern decided, oh no, we can't settle on a coach, and yet we have this wonderful manager who seems to be ticking with the team, And we are going to take the side of the sporting director, because sporting directors are an even more rare commodity than a coach who actually works at Bayern Munich. Nothing about Bayern's history suggests that it's going to be easy to find a coach. And yet, a coach that can work with the group of players that Bayern has. And yet, because of Uli Hoeneß's stubbornness, okay, it led to Hansi Flick eventually quitting his job. Who knows if Hansi Flick would have taken the Germany job otherwise. But he was unhappy, and he had reason to be unhappy. He had won everything, and he could barely get the support of Uli Hoeneß, and he could barely get the support for Hasan Salihamidžić to sign one of the players he wanted. He did not want Leroy Sané, and yet he turned Leroy Sané into a better player. And that's saying a lot. And from there, mistake after mistake after mistake. Whether that be in the transfer market, whether that be with coach, the next mistake was letting Robert Lewandowski go while trying to chase down Erling Haaland. I am probably going to get a lot of disagreement about this, but Erling Haaland is nowhere near the quality of Robert Lewandowski. Erling Haaland is a big guy who can bully his way into the box, who can score some wonderful goals as he did for Borussia Dortmund, but Robert Lewandowski is on another level. His skill set is on another level. And to this day, he's playing really well, and he's doing the job for Barcelona. There's nothing to suggest that he would not have been very valuable for Bayern for one or two seasons. There's nothing to suggest that Bayern could not have spent that time developing Matthijs Ten and saved the 100 million that they spent on Harry Kane. I love Harry Kane. I think he is a wonderful striker, but I don't know if Bayern necessarily would have needed Harry Kane if they had managed to keep Robert Lewandowski instead of going for Erling Haaland. There's also a lot to be said about Julian Nagelsmann not liking pure strikers and wanting to play without one, and Robert Lewandowski eventually leaving the club. There were disagreements between him and Nagelsmann, so there was that mistake. Then, of course, came the firing of Julian Nagelsmann himself, which wasn't unwarranted, but the manner in which it happened is it leaves a bitter taste in your mouth that the guy's on vacation and he finds out that he's been fired. And on top of that, Bayern chose the wrong moment to do it, because there were spells before that Bayern could have chosen to fire him. But just as he mastered a wonderful result against PSG, and yes, he lost to Bayer Leverkusen that week, but many people have lost to Bayer Leverkusen since. Many teams have lost to Bayer Leverkusen since. The club decided, no, it's time to fire him. And who did they bring? Thomas Tuchel. Yeah, a coach with great pedigree, whose philosophy did not at all match the philosophy of the personnel at the club, who came in to destroy that Bayern DNA, and oh my God, he did a wonderful job. Because this is where we stand. A year later, of Thomas Tuchel being in charge, this team has no particular way of playing. This team is at rock bottom, and I don't even know what rock bottom is anymore, because it just hurts to talk about rock bottom week in and week out, because every week you think you have hit a new bottom, but it does not turn out to be a new bottom, because it just gets worse and worse and worse. Max Eberl did not confirm if Thomas Tuchel is going to sit on the bench till the end of the season, and I have a feeling that a humiliating defeat in London will spell the end of Thomas Tuchel's time at Bayern immediately. In fact, I think even a narrow defeat might be it, because that would be three defeats in a row. Tuchel has to go to those guys who he has not particularly liked in Leon Goretzka and Kimmich, and hope that he can convince good performances out of them. And just this number six debate, there wasn't a number six debate before this season. And many people look back to Thiago, but let's remember that before Benjamin Pavard got injured in the 2019-20 campaign, it was a Kimmich and Goretzka midfield, not a Thiago and Goretzka midfield. So Pavard's injury meant Kimmich had to go play as right back. And it seems like Kimmich right now is not even the best of both worlds. It feels like he's a bit of the worst of both worlds, because his confidence is low in midfield. He doesn't really want to play right back, and all around, it's just very sad to see what's happened to the players. This whole argument about the players losing hunger, come on, they're professionals. There's more to this than, oh, they simply lost their hunger. It's hard to play for a manager who has basically more or less despised you from the get-go. And it is no secret that Leon Goretzka had to fight very hard to stay in Bayern Munich, that he could have left in the summer, that Tuchel would have been happy if he did, perhaps. But he didn't. Tuchel is the reason why there's been just just this extreme drop in confidence among the players. And let's just go back to the board and talk about the transfer policies. What was the need to get Brian Zaragata in January? Why did Christoph Freund go ahead and did it? Was the trust in Thomas Muller so low? A trust in a veteran of the game so low that they felt like they needed to get an additional winger due to injuries? Zaragata has barely played. Not only is this a waste of time for Bayern, it's also a waste of time of Brian Zaragata, who could have definitely developed more if he stayed in Spain. Sacha Boey was a completely needless transfer that came out of nowhere. And he was immediately slotted onto the pitch, and he was just left all on his own against Bayer Leverkusen. Josip Stanisic was sent out on loan. He's having a good season for Bayer Leverkusen. And he's probably going to return to Bayern Munich, but Bayern could have done with his services. Kim Min-jae has barely played recently, and no wonder he could barely defend against Heidenheim. His confidence must be low. The best defender in Italy last season, if not the entirety of Europe. Matthijs de Ligt saw an extended spell on the bench for no good reason other than the fact that Tuchel wanted a ball-playing defender, as if a guy who's a product of the Ajax Academy would not know how to play with the ball at his feet. Just that I could go on all day, but my heart goes out to Bayern fans and to the Bayern players, and I think I'm always going to side with them, because managers come and change. No manager is going to hang around for 6 or 7 years at Bayern, especially based on Bayern's history. That has basically never happened. But players do hang around. Kimmich, Goretzka, been there for a long time. Muller and Neuer, not much needs to be said about those two. Coman, Gnabry, so many of these players have been around the club for a long time. And they are on high salaries, yes, but that's not on them, that's on Bayern. Bayern said that president, Hasan Salihamidžić said that president, when he decided that Leroy Sané was worth more than 90% of the team. When he wasn't. This team had just won a treble. Brazzo did a lot of good, but a lot of the bad, a lot of the rot also started with Brazzo. And when the club chose him over Flick, well, here we are now. And I don't know what else we can say about this situation. But going back to the Arsenal tie, it's going to be a mountain to climb for Bayern, and it is going to be difficult for Bayern to win the tie. It doesn't mean that this team doesn't have the talent to do so. Maybe Tuchel has an ace up his sleeve. Maybe he'll set up the team properly, and maybe the team will listen for a change. But I wouldn't expect it, because I don't think I remember Bayern ever being in worse form. Perhaps the last time that Bayern was in worse form going into a Champions League tie was last season against Man City, when Choupo-Moting got injured, so Bayern had no recognized striker. This time at least there's Harry Kane, and Choupo-Moting himself is available on the bench. Also, Bayern really, Thomas Muller was left on the bench, but hey, that's going to happen again, because that's how things have been with Tuchel. I might be wrong, and I'd love to be wrong, but it's difficult to play under a manager who is like that. And it is sad to see this club, because there is just so much potential to do so much better. Yeah, there might be some problems across the team, but do not tell me that this team is not strong enough to defeat Heidenheim or Bochum or even Eintracht Frankfurt, who have not been as good as they should with the squad that they have, and they've had a lot of turnovers themselves. But just, I guess, as a final wrap-up note, going back to Max Eberl and his comments on Thomas Tuchel, right after the match, Eberl stated that he didn't really give the idea of sacking Tuchel that much thought, and that it's not always a coaching problem, but he answered that he can't conclusively answer if Tuchel will sit on the bench for the rest of the season. So I'm sorry to end on this rather negative note, but I don't even really want to offer up a prediction for this Arsenal tie, because everything around this club just feels, I can't even find a word for it. I guess depressing is the best word that I can use. But As always, be sure to stay tuned to Bavarian Podcast Works for all of your up-to-date coverage on Bayern Munich in Germany. Follow us on Twitter at Bavarian FB Works, at Bavarian Podcast, at Works of the Barrel blog, at BFW Siler, at BFW Inn, and more. Thank you for listening to the doom and gloom and everything that came in between. And I hope the Arsenal tie will bring some hope into this season. And who knows, we may see the best of Bayern Munich in that game after seeing the worst of Bayern Munich for so long. Take care and enjoy the rest of your night.